every day on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1-300-872-911.
Do you know how many times on this program are we talking about this gift of presence of mind in an emergency? And you often wonder, oh, I wonder if I'd be able to respond like that man did or that woman did. They are just heroes. And in so many cases, people just don't have that presence of mind, not knowing what to do. They panic and everything goes haywire and it can mean tragedy in so many cases. This is the most wonderful, heartwarming story in the Cairns Post today. It's under the heading, First Aid Saves Life in Horrific Accident, by Mark Murray. I won't read the whole thing because I'm going to talk to the gentleman who is possessed of this wonderful presence of mind. I'm in awe. It says here, Far North Ambulance Officer Ian Day described it as one of the most horrific scenes he's encountered in 38 years as a paramedic. He arrived at a Port Douglas resort to find 70-year-old resident Susan Kendall lying in a pool of blood with a severed jugular. She had tripped headfirst through a glass door. Now, the first respondent, this is Keith Hammerlink. Keith is an Army veteran who the Queensland Ambulance Service credits for saving her life. Why did you hear what he did? He just finished taking a swim when he witnessed the event that still keeps him up at night. I bet it does. Oh, my God. This is what he had to say. I had to unpeg her head from the glass. Which was wedged inside her neck. The neck wound was an inch wide. It was like her head was coming off. Now, Mr. Hammerlink and a dream team of bystanders, how lucky is that too, and paramedics are being praised for their heroic actions in the traumatic 40 minutes that followed. Difference between life and death. This is what he said. This is an amazing bloke. He said, I flipped her over and could see the blood spurting out the jugular, so I've stuck my fingers inside the jugular. Can you imagine this, having the presence of mind to do this? He said there was a flap open on her head and another one on her chin. I just kept finding more holes and the blood kept growing and pulsing out. I spent the first 20 minutes looking in her eyes to keep her calm. Can you imagine this? Imagine yourself in this situation. But I did think she wasn't going to make it. Anyway, I won't go on with the details because I've got this gentleman with me on the line and I'm thrilled to be able to talk to him about it. I'm overwhelmed to try and get on board and get an understanding of how he could have this amazing presence of mind to carry this off and save this life. Keith Hammerlink is his name. Hello, Keith.
G'day, how you going?
You're still struggling at night, are you?
Not so bad now. It was really bad probably for about a week until I saw her, like when I actually saw her alive again, like a week later or so. But I did struggle. And it wasn't just me as well. The other fella that was helping me, Nico, he struggled a lot too.
Mm. So. What did she say to you when you saw her a week later?
Well, she didn't know. A lot of it was out of her mind. She didn't know what happened. So she didn't know who I was.
Was she conscious through the whole nightmare?
Yeah, she was, but she doesn't remember it, which is pretty lucky because I wouldn't want to be remembering that either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she was, yeah. But, you know, it was, I don't know, she must have just blacked it out. She actually only yesterday started to realise who I was, what happened. So,
tell me about your presence. How did you know what to do? I know it says here you're an Army veteran, but
I was in the reserves many, many years ago.
Yeah.
Drink Commando Company in Williamstown. But I did all that training and I don't know, I just switched on to autopilot. I just, you know, actually to get her out, I actually had to smash the glass with my hand because she'd gone through it.
No.
And I had to smash it out of the way and lift her off. And I don't know, just on the autopilot. Actually, after it was over and she was on the gurney and she was on the way out and I actually got to stop doing everything, like putting the pressure on and doing that, and I helped the paramedics with packing it and doing all stuff. And after that, when it stopped, is when it starts to hit you, you know? Like, at the time, everything I just had to do was just automatic.
Starts to hit you. Tell us about that feeling.
Oh, I actually got the shakes. My whole body went into a cramp. I was in a crouch position over her neck, over her face for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
St- still standing, you know, sort of in an awkward position. I started shaking and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Started to realise what I'd just done, you know, what just happened. But while it was happening, I just did what I had to be. I assessed everything and just did it as it needed to be done. I told everyone what to do and, I don't know, it was just automatic.
Isn't that incredible? Were there times when you thought you might lose her?
Right at the start, when I flipped her over and it was coming out quite dramatically, and I put my hand in there and I yelled to someone to get some towels, and we got some towels, and I was trying to pack it, and the blood was growing around her head, like still coming out, and the pool was getting bigger. And I'm on the phone the whole time. I've got an earpiece, you know, that I wear, and so I was talking, and I still had both my hands available, and I was just kept finding more and more holes, and I'm saying to the lady, I can't stop this bleeding. But then we did. I did stop the bleeding, but I started to panic because I didn't actually know about the thing on the flap on the side of her head, and the chin was bleeding, but I didn't think it was significant. But definitely the neck, you know, it was the biggest wound I've ever seen on her. Like, it went from her ear through round to the front of her throat. It was 31 stitches she had across the front of her neck. And it was an inch wide, and so you can see every tendon, muscle, everything. Wow. You know, pretty graphic. So I don't mean to be too graphic on the show.
Oh no! Look, we need to. What you did is virtually unique in people's experience. They're listening to this now saying, how on earth did you cope? I mean, you're not an AMBO, you're not an emergency services worker, whatever. The fact that you've been able to do this is just astounding. And you kept finding more holes.
Yeah, so I started yelling at people to come over. I had to get her husband to come round and press the side of the head and the flap on her head. And then I had the other guy, he had to hold it on the chin to try and stem that bleeding because she had stitches down the front of her face as well.
Oh, God.
And then we never actually stopped entirely bleeding. Little pools of blood would form, and then I didn't want her to move her neck, but pools of blood were forming around her mouth and around her ear, so we had to keep wiping it so she didn't try to flinch, you know.
Mm.
You know, the whole time she's flailing around, her arms are flying everywhere, there's blood going everywhere. I mean, I was only in my bathers, and I had blood from all over my chest, all over my legs. I was just covered in her blood.
Well, well, well. How long did it take you to start coming back to normal again? I presume you were just in another world, just stunned by the whole event, because there's no rehearsal for this sort of thing.
No,
you were just
really.
Coming out of the pool, and suddenly you're the difference between life and death of this woman you've never seen before.
And I watched it happen in front of me, and so that played in my head like a video over and over and over, you know, hundreds of times.
Mm.
Everything did, you know, really. It probably took a week, 3 or 4 days before I probably had a night's sleep again. I don't know how these AMBOs do it. That guy that the AMBO that the first one that came, he was just fantastic.
Mm.
Like I couldn't praise him anymore. He was just so good.
Mm.
And somehow in my head, I thought when he gets there, it'll be I can just go. But that wasn't the case because he was a lone guy because we're up in Port, and he was by himself. So I worked with him for another 20 minutes. On after that,
wow.
and we had to pack everything, and we were cutting off her clothes and doing the whole thing. The end scene, like after she left, after everyone, like, you know, and she was off to the helicopter, we stood back and we looked around, and then there was these massive pools of blood and all the little packets that they use for all the stuff for the ambulance just littered, you know, 10 square metres of product just all over the place, and you just go back and just go wow. But I've got to say, like the backpackers we had staying here at the time, and Nico particularly, when the AMBO came and I started working with him, I had to get Nico to take her eyes to keep her calm, and he was just so good. And like it's not something you can train for.
Nico, by the way, is an Argentinian backpacker, if you're wondering. What an incredible bit of luck. But the whole thing came together. I mean, it's like a miracle.
Even when we had to get her down the stairs on a gurney, like, people just came from everywhere and just lifted her down like she was on a cloud. It was just so good, you know. But there, it just all happened.
You probably don't see yourself as a hero.
Not at all.
Oh, that's amazing. This is the most incredible story. It really, really... I'm looking at the photo of this lady too that had this appalling accident. I mean, to say in 99 out of 100 cases, she would not be alive today, and she looks fine.
Oh, no. You know, and she was in surgery till 11:30 that night. This happened at around 4 o'clock or just before 4 o'clock, and 11:30 that night was, you know, they were still in surgery. So that's... just an incredible amount of effort by, like, greater people, you know, the hospital and the helicopter was here within 12 minutes, you know. It was just amazing.
What do people say to you about this?
I don't really talk about it.
Well, you are today. Thank God you are today. I want everyone to know. I think this is just an astounding story about the capabilities people have and they don't even know. You wouldn't have known you were capable of this, would you?
Well, no, it's not really something I've thought about.
No, but you responded in the most miraculous way. I'm in awe, Keith Hamerlink. I'm in awe, and I'm sure listeners are as well. I have to leave you reluctantly because I just think you've done this most wonderful thing. I hope there's some sort of award waiting for you somewhere. No one said anything, I suppose.
No, that's right. I don't need an award. No,
but... you've done a wonderful thing. You need to be so proud of yourself. Keith, I really appreciate you sharing that with us today. Thank you.
No worries.
Isn't that the most incredible story you've ever heard? By the way, it's across page 4 of today's Ken's Post under the heading First Aid Saves Life in Horrific Accident. Horrific does not in any way carry the meaning it deserves to carry, because this has been a near miracle. The ability of somebody with no practice whatsoever, no warning, and 40 minutes later, he saved a life from almost a certain tragedy. I mean, how the hell that he's been able to do that, I don't know. Presence of mind like I've never heard of before. Keith Hamerlink is his name, Hamelink. Go and have a look at page 4 Ken's Post today. The time's on 23.